please, to Judges chapter 3. We have an extremely lengthy text to read for this evening. Judges chapter 3, we begin in verse 31. And after him was Shamgar the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, for blessing us this evening. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, that you would give us your truth. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the things that you have for us. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, even in this brief passage of Scripture, to be able to understand some of the things that are necessary for us, and that we might grow in the knowledge of grace and truth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have going to be Grace's new favorite song. It's going to be requested every week, I'm sure of it. It's entitled, "They Were All Used of God." Now, does anybody know that song, "They Were All Used of God"? John, you do? Is that because you just listened to it earlier?
No, we used to play it in Sunday school in Canada.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Canadians would sing this song. It's that far out. What's that? You don't know it? Well, Jenny, how on earth could you not know this one? It goes, Shamgar had an ox goad, David had a sling, Dorcas had a needle, Rahab had some string, Samson had a jawbone, Moses had a rod, Mary had some ointment, but they were all used of God. And so this evening, we are going to look specifically at that very little known Shamgar. Somehow you probably don't have in your repertoire of heroes of the faith the name Shamgar at the top. He's probably at best nowhere on the list. At worst, you might not have even remembered his name because he only gets one verse of press. And he only gets one sentence in a book this size. And in a book this size, you have a tendency to not notice the ones that get one sentence. There are many people that get one sentence, such as Hogla. You remember Hogla? Probably not. Maybe. Do you remember, what's his name? I can't even remember it. Isaiah's son. You remember Isaiah's son with that? It's a long, long name. I started down this rabbit trail, so I've got to finish it now. I know where it is. It's long. It's in the opening chapters of Isaiah. I can't find it now. Of course, when you want it. Anyway, it's just a really long name, and it really has no point to make other than you can't remember it. chapter 8, Mahershala Hashbaz. Mahershala Hashbaz. It just trips off the tongue. I don't know why we couldn't remember it. Yeah, Mahershala Hashbaz. These are all names that are just, to us, they're almost bullet points in this giant text of Scripture that gives us a great big picture of the Word. But what I want you to see this evening, and I imagine it's going to be very brief, but I want you to see this evening is a salvation break. We've seen the paradigm deliverer. Who was the paradigm deliverer? That was Othniel. Remember, he was the template. He set the mold. And then after Othniel, we saw the left-handed deliverer, who was Ehud. And we learned last week that we have a lot of left-handed deliverers in our church. But this evening, we look at this man named Shamgar, who is the ox goad deliverer. The ox goad deliverer. It's almost like this verse is a news break. Do you know what I'm talking about when you're watching the news and all of a sudden there'll be a news break and they give like 20 seconds or 30 seconds and then they move on to the next story? That's almost what is happening here in the text. It's sandwiched between the larger judges of Ehud in chapter 3, and then down in chapter 4 we'll get into Deborah and Barak. And so sandwiched in between those well-known judges, we have this little-known judge named Shamgar. And I don't believe Shamgar is the typical household name. I have yet to meet a person named Shamgar, although I've met one and known of just a few others that are named Asa. There, you just don't run across Asas. We were down in Somerset, and we went into the Giant Eagle in Somerset. Now, if you don't know Somerset, Somerset is practically overrun with Mennonites. And there was a Mennonite boy who was working there at the cash register, and we looked and we're like, oh, Asa. I said, that's my son's name. And he was thinking to himself, this guy has to be another Mennonite. Little did he know. And when you have these larger-than-life personas, such as Samson and Gideon, and you hear of them, a guy like Shamgar, who just gets one sentence, and his entire life, is summed up just in one little sentence, is easy to be overlooked. Now, I want to have you be aware of some questions that are surrounding the person of Shamgar. First of all, we don't even know if Shamgar was an Israelite. Do you know why? Shamgar is not a Jewish name. It's not a Hebrew name. It's actually a Canaanite name. Some say the Hurrians, and the reason why is because there is on the Nunzi text a Hurrian name that appears by Shamgar. So we don't know. Is Shamgar Israeli or not? What does son of Anath mean? Well, the Canaanite goddess was Anath. Why is he called a son of Anath? Well, that's an interesting question. There is a possible answer to this, though. There was a place called Beth Anath in Galilee, and then there was another place called Beth Anath that was down in Judah. Another question that arises to our mind when we read this is, did Shamgar single-handedly kill 600 people with this ox goad? Or did Shamgar lead a group of militia, and it just so happened to be that his weapon of choice was an ox goad in a battle? Well, my opinion would be that Shamgar is a non-Israelite from the town of Beth Anath in Judah near the Philistines, for what it matters. And remember, what do we say? Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple and they usually stink. But we can know this for sure, just exactly what the ox goad was. What is an ox goad? I don't know, if you're thinking of like a little prod thing, that would be the wrong thing to imagine in your mind when you think of an ox goad. An ox goad would be about 8 feet in length. It would be 6 inches around at its base. And at its base, it would have attached to it a shovel-like apparatus so that it could be used for cleaning out the stalls of the oxes. At the other end of that 8 feet would be a sharp pointy end, so that you could poke the oxes to get them moving, oxen, to get them moving. And so this is the ox goad. Imagine, if you will, though, the type of man that it would take to wield an 8-foot-long pole with a shovel at one end and a pointy stick at the other end as a weapon. The picture that I get in my mind is that Shamgar was kind of the Arnold Schwarzenegger type. In order to use that, if that's your choice of weapon, I mean, I'm going to choose other things. If I'm going to go into battle, I'm not going to choose an ox goad because chances are I'm going to smack myself in the face with it. or I'm not going to have the strength at that 8 feet to make it do anything. But obviously Shamgar had this ability. Now, why do we focus on the tool? Because the tool is the only thing that we can be sure of in this passage. And so what can we gather from this news break where the tool is the only thing that we can be sure of? I think what we're meant to see here is that God loves to use strange tools to save his people. Did you hear that? God loves to use strange tools to save his people. And so thus we have the song. Shamgar had an ox goad. David had a sling. That's a strange tool. Dorcas had a needle. Who was Dorcas? Anybody remember Dorcas? What was her other name? Anybody remember her other name? Tabitha was her other name. What was she known for? Yeah, she made clothes and was charitable. What happened to her? She died. And who raised her from the dead? Anybody remember that? She was a raised from the dead character. That was a Peter miracle. And that's Tabitha. That's Dorcas. She had a string, but she was used of God. She had a needle. Rahab had some string. You remember the story of Rahab's scarlet string? Samson had a jawbone. Samson had a lot of weird tools. We're going to spend some time on Samson when we get to him in Judges, but he had a lot of weird tools. Samson was a real-life Hercules. He was a real-life Superman. Samson had, when the Spirit of the Lord moved on Samson, Samson picked up the gates of the city, and we'll spend time on that. You don't even know. The gates of the city are probably as high as this room, and he picked them up several tons and carried them. You know, God used Samson in a mighty way, and he was a mighty man, but he used crazy tools, not just a jawbone. Moses had a rod. Do you remember the question that the Lord asked Moses at the burning bush? Anybody? He gave him just a short little question.
What's that in thy hand?
Yes. What is that in thy hand? What is that in thy hand? And Moses did one of these jobs. A rod. And God said, you'll deliver Israel out of Egypt with that. Throw it down. What did it become? Snake. Pick it up. What happened? Rod again. How many of you would have never gotten to the picking it up stage? Incidentally, that's another one of those misconceptions, like we were talking about this morning, that serpents are always bad, or that serpents always represent Satan. Do you know that they don't always represent Satan? In John, we have the brazen serpent. In John chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15, just as Moses lifted up the brazen serpent of the wilderness, so too shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And he said, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men to me. So that's another one of those things that you've got to be careful with, those neat little tidy theological packages. The Bible tends to be a lot more messy than that. Mary had some ointment. What Mary are we talking about there? Yeah. That dropped the ointment on broke the alabaster box and put the ointment on Jesus' feet and wiped it off with her hair. But then the final line, they were all used of God. Ehud had that what? The dagger. You remember the 18-inch dagger that he made that, you know, got sucked up into the fat of Eglon? Anybody remember Jael? Yeah, in Sisera's head. Yeah, yep, the big tent peg and the hammer. What did Gideon use? Some lanterns, some horns, and some torches, and a trumpet. Do you remember the woman that uses the millstone? Yeah, she's up on top of the roof and throws it down and kills the enemy of God. All of these people had strange tools. And I can't help but think to myself, doesn't our God give us a story to tell? When we go through this life, doesn't he give us a story to tell? Have you thought back over your life? Here we have just this one sentence that we're told of Shamgar, the son of Anath, who slew the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. And that's all we know about him. But God gave him this strange story to tell. And each one of you who are sitting in this room, you each have a story to tell. A story of how Jesus Christ has saved you, how he has redeemed you. And then even a story of how he has used you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Just think for a minute. You know, I'm getting these blurbs periodically from Randy Guadalupe over in the Philippines, who's just so excited to send me pictures and show me of the work that's going on over there. Can you imagine that we, in this little church, in Podunk, Pennsylvania, have had a hand in taking the gospel to the Philippines? Isn't that incredible? How did that happen? Well, because God loves to use strange tools. And we get to be the privileged people who are a part of that program. That was a lot of P's real fast, wasn't it? Privileged people that are part of the program. The bottom line is that Shamgar was a savior of Israel. So what if Shamgar raises up some unanswerable questions? The important thing, the thing that we're meant to take from this, is that God used him. Now, if I'm right in my estimation that Shamgar is a non-Israelite from down near the border where there was a Beth-Aneth in Judah on the border with the Philistines, if I'm right that that's who he is, then not only did God use him as a strange tool, but God used a strange deliverer, someone who was not of Israel, was used of God. That's not unheard of. We know that Rahab was not of Israel. God delights to use these strange tools. Isn't that exciting? God delights to send his salvation plan in the unlikeliest of places, such as a manger in a little town called Bethlehem, in the person of a little baby. How frail and how fragile a baby is. But yet God would use that little package to be a deliverer. We ask the question many times tonight, to you who is Jesus. That's something that we've got to have a reckoning with. To you who is Jesus. To you who is Shamgar. Shamgar is the savior of Israel. God would later use the unlikely Cyrus. Do you remember Cyrus? He was an unlikely deliverer of Israel that God used, and he was later declared righteous among the nations. God will be glorified no matter what the tool, no matter what the means. God will cover himself in glory. The instrument doesn't matter. Did you hear that? The instrument doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's an ox goad. Doesn't matter if it's a tent peg and a hammer. Doesn't matter if it's a jawbone of a donkey. Doesn't matter if it's a string. The question was asked to Moses, what is that in thy hand? And the question is being asked to you guys, what is that in thy hand? God has determined to use you. If he has redeemed you, he has redeemed you for a purpose, and that purpose is not just to come to Grace Baptist Church and keep up the status quo. That purpose is to be used in some way to glorify him. There is not one person that has been redeemed that is redeemed purposelessly, if we can put it in its adjectival form. The reason why you have been redeemed is so that you can be used of God to throw glory back on him. You know, someday we're going to get crowns. You understand that concept? The concept of the reward system in heaven. Someday the Lord will give us crowns. There are various crowns that are mentioned in Scripture that will be rewarded. We'll get these crowns, and we get them for one purpose and for one purpose only. Just to toss him back at his feet and say, to you, O Lord, is all the glory. To you. We've been saved for one purpose, to toss it all back at his feet, to say, to you, O Lord, is all the glory. You're the one who is deserving of glory. You're the one who is deserving of praise. You're the one who is deserving of honor. You're the one who is deserving of magnification. You are the great God of this universe. You are the God that has saved us and has redeemed us unto yourself. You are the God who has taken us and made us your own. And all we can do is throw it back to you. All we can do is say, wow. What did Brother Morris say that they said in the 70s? They said it backwards. Wow. Say it upside down. Mom. All we can do is give it back to God. What we need to do is bow down and worship the God who uses an instrument like Shamgar with a tool like an ox goad. Amen? That's our salvation break. Takes me a long time to write a short sermon. I hope you appreciated it. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this little salvation break. We thank you, Lord, for this glorious truth that you were willing to use unique tools for your purpose and for your glory, so that you receive all the glory, so that you receive all the praise. What a great honor it is and a great privilege it is to be in your service. We are thankful that we are citizens of your kingdom, and we rejoice, Lord, for what you have called us to do. And we thank you, Lord, that you used all of those people for your work. And we're thankful that you continue to use unlikely people like us for your work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.